Hello, and welcome to the Feathers and Flowers podcast.
Welcome to our everyday life on the homestead. Chickens, goats, gardening, recipes, sustainable living, and more.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Feathers and Flowers podcast. Today we're talking about how we went from 4 goats to 10 goats in less than 2 weeks. Well, we weren't going to talk about goats on episode 8, but it was too exciting not to share this fast to make y'all wait for like however many weeks until we were going to do this. So we're going to go ahead and share it now.
Yep. Episode 8 was not goats on paper, but it's goats in real life.
Yes. Because we've had the past 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, has been goats, goats, goats.
Goats. Well, I think the very last, not the last episode, but the one before that, we were talking about how Bunny could go, Bunny or Bonnie. We weren't really sure which one could go. And then we were figured that Ethel was going to go sometime. Like, we pretty much knew her due date. And then ended up being Bunny that went first. And we're going to get into like a little bit of the details of each of them. Kidding. But she was probably the biggest surprise to me, because I was asleep whenever it happened because I work nights.
Yeah, so the day before she kitted, we were just doing, we didn't think either of them was going to go for a couple more days at least, but we were doing our normal everyday checks on the milk stand and the training on the milk stand, and we shaved both of their udders to get them ready, so that way it would be less messy. And we did ligament checks and overall body checks and everything. And we knew they were getting close, but we didn't think that it was literally going to be less than 24 hours later for her.
Well, her ligaments felt squishy, but they weren't like necessarily gone. Like,
right.
We could tell that she was gearing up to kid, because she had bagged up majorly. Her bags were very full. She hadn't dilated yet, but then her ligaments were starting to soften, so he knew it was on the way. But also, she didn't have any discharge.
Right.
So she came, everything came really, really fast for her.
Yep. So then the next day, which was Tuesday of, not last week, the week before, 2 weeks from tomorrow, I guess when.
Yep.
Well, 2 weeks today, technically, from when y'all hear this podcast. So.
Correct.
So yeah, she kitted while I was at work. She was fine before I left for work, which I don't work full time, and so that was my 5-hour day. So technically I'm gone for about 6 hours between drive time. And she was fine before I left, and then you had come in from work.
Yep.
And
I came in from
checked
work
on her.
I came in from work then, about an hour after you left for work.
Yeah.
And I did my rounds, or you know, I checked on the chickens, let them out, fed them, gave them water, because they always need water. Checked on all the goats. I think I threw some hay out for everything. And then I checked Bunny. She didn't have any discharge. She was acting a little strange.
Which, like, you did not bother to tell me.
The only thing that she showed signs of was she wasn't scratching at bedding or anything. She was just a little antsy, which she's a weird goat anyway. She doesn't really want to be touched, and she acts like you're trying to chase her down. Like, even right now, if you walk in the barn, she like backs into the corner usually.
Yeah.
So it wasn't super out of the ordinary for her, but she wasn't really eating the hay either. She was just kind of being her own person over in the corner. So to me, it didn't seem super out of the ordinary for her, but looking back now, I understand that was the signs. But there was no discharge. There was no dilation. Her ligaments felt softer than the day before, but still not gone.
Yep. So then you went to bed.
Yep. I text you and said everything's good to go, and then I went to sleep.
And then 2 hours later, I got home. It was like 3:30 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled in the driveway, and something caught my eye. And I saw Bunny standing there, and I was like, and I saw something like wiggle. And I was like, okay, either Bonnet's laying on the other side of her and she just twitched her ear, or that's like a baby goat tail. And so I jumped out of the car and ran over there. And sure enough, it was a baby goat tail, because they were already up and nursing. And so I didn't go in there yet. I was about to, and then I figured that you'd be upset with me. So I literally turned around, ran as fast as I could back into the house, basically yelled at you, baby goats, I think that's all I said, and then ran right back out the door.
It was very alarming because you never run through the house. Like whenever me
especially
and
Especially you're asleep.
Right. Me and Sadie, whenever we're playing in the house, running back and forth, usually you like fuss at us to quit running in the house.
Well, that's because the floors are so jiggly that it bounced everything off my shelves.
That's true. But I heard like the door open, sounded panicked. I heard the door open. And then, like, all I hear is you running down the hallway, like, full blast. And then all you said was, get up, baby goats, and then ran right back out the door. I was like, what? So I didn't know, like, are they coming out? Are they on the way out? Like, did you check her and she's about to go? Or are they already out and they were already out walking around?
Yep. So she had them in the pasture. So... we moved them up into the barn, into the little kidding stall that we put in the barn. That's like a little small area. And they were had already been nursing. They were both moving around good. Bunny was being a really good mom, which this is her second kidding. So she knew what she was doing. And
they were already clean too.
Yeah, she cleaned them up really good. She was very attentive to them. And she had a boy and a girl.
Yep.
Which we named.
Well, so your cat, when we first started dating, his name was Wildy. Or technically his name was Cotton, but we called him Wildy.
No, his name was Wildy,
and we called him Cotton. There we go. So I wanted to kind of homage to him a little bit, but also that little baby boy on day two, 48 hours after he was running through the barn, back and forth like crazy, and I was like, man, he is a wild thing.
Yeah,
like I wanted to call him Wild Thing, like
wild man.
So we ended up settling on Wilder.
Yes, because we wanted to kind of do a Little House on the Prairie theme with these ones, because their mom is Bunny, which if you've ever watched Little House on the Prairie, Laura's horse is named Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
So that already was with the theme. We didn't name her. So And then, so the little boy's name is Wilder, and then the little girl's name is Nellie.
Yep.
We like old lady names for our goats anyways, so,
right.
Or like, not really old lady names, but like older fashion names.
Old fashion
names. So, yeah.
Yep.
Because we have Ethel, Ruby, Bonnet, I feel like, or Bonnie for short, is an old fashion name, and then Nellie fit right in with that. So.
Right. And it's so funny, too, because, so obviously, with them being in the barn and everything and us going and checking on them multiple times a day and playing with them in the barn, that was the first of the kids to come.
Mm-hmm.
So we played with them probably more than any of them. If we go into the barn right now, Nellie will come up to you, stand on your feet, like she'll put her two front hooves on your like toes, and she'll sit there and stomp on your toes and jump on your knees waiting for you to pick her up, and
mm-hmm.
then you pick her up and she just nestles up underneath your neck.
Yeah, she loves to be held. Yeah, she's like a little like dark brown with some white patches on her head and then on her sides, and then she's got one moon spot. It's like a light tan spot on her,
right,
kind of like to the left of her spine, I guess.
Right, which the moon spots are the like the cream colored spots on the darker, right?
Yeah,
not on the white.
They can't be on white. It's not considered a moon spot if it's on white, or if it's white. It has to be like a different color on another color other than white, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. So if that's the case, she has other like cream colored spots that aren't like dark, but they're not white. She has other cream spots, but they're like in the white, or they're touching the white. So she has one really pretty moon spot right on the top of her back almost.
Yeah.
And then
I need to research that whole thing and see if I'm correct. I don't want to like steer people wrong.
Yeah. But all of the baby goats from like Bunny and Bonnie have a really dark, like almost black streak starting at their shoulders all the way down to their tail.
Like on their spine.
Yeah, on their spine.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a Nazarene donkey or whatever it's called.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's just a breed of donkey. It's supposedly like the same donkey that Jesus rode in Nazareth or whatever, but it's just they have a cross that starts on like their shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and it goes from like one shoulder to the other in a straight line, and then it goes like from their neck down to their tail in a straight line, and it makes a cross shape.
Huh.
So never that's what it reminds me of.
If I have, I don't remember. But anyways, and then Wilder, the little boy, he's more of like a brownish, light brownish tan colored.
He's like a good cup of coffee color.
and then he's got some white on his legs, but not, yeah. he doesn't have white patches.
Right, he doesn't have any spots.
And he's just got more like black accents.
Right. And then both of them have a little tiny white, like balding patch on top of their head. It's just like a little white spot mm-hmm. on their head.
Yeah. They're cute.
Mm-hmm. And cute. they have the most like pretty facial features. Like the like facial markings are like super pretty, just mm-hmm. the way that they like contour their face and everything.
Yeah, they are. They're both really pretty. So then after Bunny kitted, Bonnet has increased. I'm trying to tell this like
chronologically,
right? But also like I'm trying to tell it to where it's like not I'm trying not to say
bunnies and
bunny is
bunny
was like okay. I'm trying to make sense where I'm not, because we're telling this after the fact,
right?
But also we're not trying to spoil like something that's already happened before it actually happened.
Right.
But even though it's all already happened.
Right. Okay. Makes sense.
But anyways, after Bunny kitted, Bonnet got increasingly like more lovable. Like,
right. Which she, it's so funny. When we first brought them, I think we've discussed this on other episodes. I don't know. We're on episode 8 now, so they're kind of starting to run together. So mm-hmm. I can't imagine when we get to like episode 20, 50, who knows. So, but Bonnet and Bunny were not like, not that they're not friendly, like they weren't going to headbutt you, not like a billy goat, but they just didn't want to be touched and they wouldn't really come up to
they're
you
much.
They're
just skittish.
Right.
We didn't raise them from a baby like we did Ruby and right. then Ethel we've had since before she was even a year old, so.
Right, so we've essentially had her since she was a baby.
Pretty much. But,
so they just are like skittish, they're kind of standoffish, like they'll come and eat like feed and hay and like
they'll eat out of my hand,
right? But they don't want to be like pet on a whole lot, or
they didn't want to.
But when we separated them, because we knew that they would, you know, probably kid before everybody, so we put them in the barn area with the paddocks so that way they could get used to that she started getting like really not attached, but like she could care less. Like you could walk up to her and scratch her, and she found out that she really liked to be scratched on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like her favorite spot. She stretches her neck like really far out so that way you can get all the spots.
Yeah. But after Bunny kitted, like I would be sitting out there in the little chair that I had up there, mm-hmm. and we had the baby gate up so that Bonnet couldn't technically get over there to the baby, just because we didn't know how she was going to be with them. We were just letting Bunny and her kids do their thing. But Bonnet would sit there with me in the chair, and she would sit there and stretch her neck over the gate and like lay it in my lap, and I would just sit there and rub her. And if I quit rubbing her or touching her, she would literally jump up on that gate and like try to climb up in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was because like if it was like a pregnancy, like the end of pregnancy symptom, or if it's just because she really likes me now.
I don't know. I mean, she's still lovable, but not like she was that like couple of days before she birthed or yeah. kitted. Like she was very like, pretty much if we were both in the barn, I would go stand on her side and she would lean up against, like she all of her weight, mm-hmm. she would lean up against my leg.
Maybe she was just jealous.
I don't know, maybe, but either way she would lean up against me and I would like lean on the stall door and watch the babies.
Yeah,
but she was very 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 lovable. And I was also, we had discussed it before Bunny even birthed or kitted. I don't know why I keep saying birthed.
It's the same difference.
But I'm trying to be as like politically correct, it's not the right term, but like as scientifically correct as
goat-ly
possible.
Goatly correct.
Yeah. But
it's the same difference. It doesn't really
kitted,
matter.
Kitted, birthed, same difference. So we discussed it before Bunny even kitted, that if one goes, there's a good probability that the one kidding can make the other one start kidding. So we had already discussed that. So we were kind of on high alert for Bonnet.
Yeah. And then with each passing day after Bunny kidded, I feel like she started having more and more signs. Like first she was like super uncomfortable. Like she was deep breathing. She'd lay down and she would like, just looked super uncomfortable, and we could hear her breathing, mm-hmm. like, super heavily. And then...
she started, like, she also started stretching her legs out, too. Like, she wanted to lay, like, on the ramp to the pasture, but she would stretch her legs, like, almost straight out, like she was trying to, I don't know, I guess get relief from her uncomfortableness.
From her gigantic belly.
Yeah.
And then... she also started having discharge, not a lot, just like a little mucus during probably 2 or 3 days before she kitted,
mm-hmm.
Which she kitted 5 days after Bunny. But yeah, she had the mucus for several days. So I was like, okay, she could literally go any point now.
Yeah, we were very, because I worked a couple of days in between that. And I was like, I know for a fact, like as soon as I leave for work, I'm going to get where I'm going, and you're going to call me and be like, she's kidding.
Yeah, the problem was, though, is that two of the days during that time, I was at work all day. That was my two long days.
Right, and I was here trying to sleep so I could still work.
Yeah, the only thing was that I was off one of my long days because I was sick. They right. sent me home because I was not feeling good, but that's beside the point.
I was hoping that she was going to kid that day. That would have been ideal.
Yeah, except that it was pouring the rain.
Either way, it would have still been ideal.
Yeah. So, and then her bag, like, we thought it was full already, but, like, literally the day before she actually did kid, it was, like, about to pop. Like, it was like, shiny. It was so full.
Yeah, it went from, like, I don't know, not really a softball, like, a little bit bigger than a softball, and, like, you could tell that they were plump, but they weren't, like, big, to, like, almost... probably almost like
a volleyball.
Yeah, almost a volleyball in a day.
Yeah.
And it was very tight. Like, her tits were like shiny because they were so full, and then like her bag, obviously because we shaved them, there wasn't a lot of hair, but like you could see just like it was super duper, like, just as full as they could possibly be.
Yep. And then so we were able to watch her give birth, thankfully. We had just got home from church last Sunday, and we went out to check her, and you were the one that went and checked her while I was changing.
Yeah, you went to change, and I couldn't help myself. I was like, I'm going to go check just because. And
well, she wasn't in labor whenever you went to check her.
No, she wasn't in labor, and I went and felt her ligaments. She had a ton of mucus discharge, and it just kept getting more and more and more.
I wouldn't say a ton, but like it was more than it was.
It was a lot compared to the couple of days before. It was a lot.
I mean, a lot means like it's just like gushing out to some people. Like,
okay, it wasn't gushing out. It had probably a good 12 to 14 inch string of solid mucus.
Yeah.
There we go.
String of mucus.
Yep. So.
But she wasn't like.
No, her ligaments were. I think she was starting to dilate, and then her ligaments felt like almost gone. So I told, like, I'd come back inside after that, and I was like, she's going today. And then
I was still changing, and I heard screams, like goat screams, mm-hmm. and I was like, I think she's giving birth right now. And so we both ran out there, and sure enough, we walked out or ran out there and opened the door just in time to see that first little bubble popping out,
mm-hmm. the first little goat head. And then you just hollered at me and was like, literally as I was running, I could hear you hollering like a list of things to get.
Yeah, but she had a perfect birth. The first one came out feet and head first, which is what you want. You don't mm-hmm. want one leg back. I mean, they can still do okay with some of those different positions, but ideally you want the two front feet and the head kind of tucked in there together.
Yep, you want them to dive right out.
Yep, so she came out like that first, and... came out, and Bonnet did a really good job cleaning her up, and you know,
well, at first it seemed like, which this is her first freshening,
yes,
so she had no idea what to do other than instinct, and instinct is strong, but you could tell she was like, did that thing just come out of me? Like, she wasn't 100% sure what to do. So you had picked it up and started like cleaning it with the towel.
That was the second one.
Well, the first one you started cleaning too, and then
all I did was just wipe the mucus out of its face so that it could breathe. Clean, and she did that, and she did the rest.
Right, and you set it kind of in front of her, and she started licking, and she stood up, and I was like, man, she's only gonna have one, and she was licking and attending to it very well. It stood up on its feet quick,
yeah,
and then it started trying to nurse And then all of a sudden she was started like getting super uncomfortable again.
Yeah. Which, I mean, usually they don't have them like super, like they usually take a little bit of a break in between. I've never seen them have them like back to back, like extremely fast. Usually it's at least like a 10-minute break in between. But yeah, you could tell. I knew she was about to have another one when she laid back down and started contracting again. And the second one came out perfectly too. Same way, feet and head first. We actually have got a lot of this on video, so we'll probably post. Actually, we will. I'm still making it. Posting it to our YouTube. All of their little birthing videos. But yeah, I helped that one because she was still kind of, after that one came out, she was still kind of caught up with the first one. So I obviously, you know, got the mucus off of its face and nose and then so that it could breathe good. And then I kind of dried that one off a little bit more, not a lot, but just a little bit more. But then she cleaned and dried off the rest of it and did a really good job doing both of them.
Well, to clarify, it's not like she birthed it and you pretty much caught it and started cleaning it. Like, we let it sit there for a good 30 seconds to make sure like that it was okay. We're gonna give her a chance to be mama, and then we realized like that baby was still kind of in a little bit of
usually their sacs burst whenever they come out, or like a lot of times they do before they even do that, but that one really didn't. Like,
yeah, it still was kind of around it.
It was still like wrapped around it and everything, but
so it just looked like it was struggling to try and take its first breath.
I wasn't trying. I mean, she was doing fine. Like, she didn't have to turn around in a split second and do all that, but I just figured I would help her out a little bit, but right. Most people do.
I think she did good as being a mama, and of course, like, I don't know, when you see a baby born like that, your first instinct is to like grab it and like try to help her out, which I don't know, it's hard. Like, I wanted to just like grab it and start drying it off myself, but it's just good for her to be able to do it as the mom, and she did a stellar job for being a first time mama.
Yeah, I mean, they have good instincts. They know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've only seen a few that didn't act like they wanted to be a mother. I don't think we've ever had one that I was really little when we had to do that, but like the ones I remember, I don't think we ever had to take them away and like bottle feed them or anything because they didn't want nothing to do with them.
Right.
But
I will say the second one, well, the first one come out and we, like, she didn't look like significantly smaller or anything. I thought she was about average sized. And then when the second one come out, I think the first thing that I said was, that thing is lanky.
Yeah. And then we quickly looked at their genders. We just wanted to see what they were. We didn't look at both, both places to tell, because all like boys and girls have like little nipples. Obviously, as they get older, the girls gets bigger, but the boys don't. And so we looked at the first one, said that's a girl. And then we looked at the second one and we were like, that's a girl. We just saw the nipples, but his little sack was still wet and it must have been like folded up against his leg or something. And so it didn't look like that. It just looked like a little like fluff of hair or something. So yeah. We just said, that's a girl. So we were like, we have twin girls. And I think I even posted on Instagram story before we actually took the time to like look them over, look before they were even dry, and said like bonnets, pretty girls or something like that. And then the next day I realized that that one was a boy.
You text me because I was it was that the next morning, because I was coming home from work. You text me and you were like, I'm so upset. And I was like, why, what happened? Like, I thought one of the babies died through the night, or like maybe accidentally bonnet laid on top of him, being a first time mama, didn't know. And you were like, no, my precious little cute thing is a boy. Because
that's because that one, that was my favorite coloring. And obviously we cannot keep all these babies, but we were going to keep some of the girls. And I was going to keep that one for sure. Like, oh, yeah. Because the coloring on it was beautiful. It's still beautiful. I mean, he's a cute little guy. But yeah, I was very upset to learn that it was a boy instead of a girl.
He's significant. He takes after Bonnet more so than his dad, I think, because he is super fluffy, just like Bonnet is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he come out twice as fluffy as all the others.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, the girl, we named her Tilly. Fits with our old lady names.
Mm-hmm.
Our old-fashioned old lady names.
Yep.
And then she is pretty much the same as Nelly. She's the dark brown with the white spots on her side. The only difference is she does not have the tannish moon spot, and she has a bigger white spot on her head.
She has a little bit darker feet, too. Yeah. Nelly's is kind of just like brown all the way down, whereas Tilly's...
I think turns more into black.
They turn almost black, because when we were thinking of names, I was like, we could call her Boots, because it looks like she's got black boots on.
But, yeah, they look very similar. And, like, from the when you just glance at them, you can barely tell them apart. Like, probably somebody that wasn't us probably couldn't tell them apart unless they knew.
I have a hard time sometimes. The only difference is Nelly will come running up to you for you to hold her, and that's about it.
And she's a touch bigger, being almost a week older. But, and then the little boy who is a beautiful color, he's like a very, very light. He's pretty much the same color as the other little boy, but he has a little bit more of a chocolate undertone, but it's like super light.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it reminds me of like hot chocolate or like mocha or something, but it's like very light, like brown sugar kind of.
Yeah, probably about that color.
But he isn't like solid that color. He has white patches on like his sides.
Yep.
But yeah, I was going to name him. What was I going to name him? Her? When I thought it was a her?
I don't remember. Another Little House on the Prairie name. I just can't remember.
No. I think it was a food. Was it Cookie? No.
Cookie Mocha?
No.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Wow. I can't believe I forgot it that fast.
Oh, well.
I think it started with a C, though. Pretty sure it was Cookie.
Probably.
But I don't think it was either. I don't remember.
I don't either.
Oh, well. But his name is...
Am I supposed to say it?
Well, yeah, I was going to let you say it.
I forgot. What was it?
We forgot. Clyde?
Yeah, Clyde. There we go.
You forgot his name?
Well, I haven't dealt with him a whole lot. I've been dealing with other babies. I don't know. I haven't said his name a whole lot. I'm trying not to get too attached to the boys, because we already said we're not going to keep any of the boys.
We can't keep them.
No. Because we don't want inbreds, and I have no place on the farm for a wither. So
a wither.
wither.
So far, both Bonnet and Bunny have been really good mamas. Although they've been a bit of over producers that they were at first. So we've had to help troubleshoot them a little bit.
Yep.
So that this has been interesting and a learning experience for us.
Well, I will say this much. I was worried whenever we started talking about like what breed of goats that we really wanted to get for like milking goats and everything, whenever we started talking about the dwarf goats, because I have fairly large hands, like I wear a large size glove. So,
and I have extremely small hands. I wear a small glove and a 4.5 size ring.
Right. So I have a fairly large hand. So I was a little worried that I wouldn't be able to milk, but turns out I ended up having to be the first one to milk and figure it out by myself.
Yes.
And hey, I can milk them, so.
Yep, so, yeah. So, 2 days after Bunny gave birth, we realized that the kids were only eating off one side. Even though we had seen them eat off both initially, they had started gravitating to one side. So, the other side, which was the right side, was getting extremely engorged, and she was getting super uncomfortable. And it was pretty big and lopsided because it was super full of milk.
It was very large.
Which I was at work that day, and I wasn't going to be home. That's my long day where I'm gone from 6 to 6 pretty much. So,
right.
So yeah, you FaceTimed me, and I was like, you're going to have to milk her.
It took so... Not to spoil anything, but the last time that I milked her, bag completely out in probably 5 minutes or less.
Well, that side, yeah.
Yeah, just that side. I milked it out and probably like to where there was nothing coming out in 5 minutes or less. That's including like prep time, cleaning the tit and cleaning it at the end too, and brushing her.
Yep. So
I've gotten proficient.
Yeah. Well, so that first time you got her on the milk stand and she was extremely uncomfortable because it was so full. And because it, I guess it was clogged up. I don't think you had an issue starting to get milk out, but it had clumps in it.
Well, it had a little bit. I had to squeeze much harder than I felt comfortable with because I'd never milked a goat before or a cow or anything at this point. So I was very uncomfortable with the amount of pressure that I had to squeeze to get my first little bit out. And it was a very thin, like high pressure stream. So, and it had like a bunch of little yellow clumps in it. And it took me probably a good 20 minutes because I would get maybe one or two squeezes out and then she would
kick
me off.
When you say yellow, it wasn't like bright yellow. It was like very light, like probably colostrum.
I would assume it's probably like solidified colostrum or maybe like just the fat of the milk already starting to like separate.
Yeah, I know you FaceTimed me and you like set me up where I could watch and you were just like milking and it was like you just kept saying that it was like a very small stream and like you felt like you weren't getting like a full stream out. And then all of a sudden you were like, hey, that I just squirted this like chunk out.
Yeah, literally.
And then
it
like
was,
the stream was huge after that.
Right. It literally went from just like a little like just a tiny little stream of maybe like a half a second to a second of like getting milk out. And then all of a sudden it was just literally like a shoomp. Like I don't know how to, like I was squeezing so hard I felt uncomfortable. Like I was afraid I was gonna hurt her.
Well, she was like dancing around.
Yeah, she was dancing around and everything. And I was squirting milk all over the milk stand, all over my phone, all over me, all over her. She kept trying to lay down in the milk. And finally, when that came out, like it was like if you're squeezing a water balloon and it just popped. Like it felt like a whole bunch of pressure just relieved. And then I was getting like a huge...
And she was super still.
Right, she all of a sudden just stopped fighting me, was super still. And it was just like I was getting big, long, like 5 to 10 second streams out. And it was a lot of milk coming out. And we didn't catch it. I tried to catch it in a jar. And after she put her foot in the jar and kicked the jar over and everything, I was like, I'm done with this. And so then once she started sitting still, I started putting it in a jar. And I got a half a jar.
Yeah.
And I'm guarantee I got at least a half a jar all over the milk stand and the ground and me and her and everywhere else.
Before that, yeah.
Right. So that was a ton of, like, I was impressed of how much milk it was.
Well, it's because it was like backed up for days, or not really days, but like a day and a half probably.
Right.
But yeah, so then we ended up having to do that and milk her out, which she was fine after that. Like after that day, like she was excited to be milked. Like yeah. She stood still.
I literally would open the barn door and before I could even turn around to shut the head gate, she was already on the milk stand with her head in the head gate.
Yep. So, but yeah, we had to do that for 5 days or so. And then now the kids are old enough and big enough to eat off both sides and they're eating a lot more now. So they're eating, they're keeping it done. They're keeping it
right.
Even.
Every day for the 5 days, it gradually got a little bit less and a little bit less of the milk that we were getting out to relieve her.
Because they were starting to eat off of her.
And then on day 5, when I came in and I had barely enough to cover the bottom of the milk pail, I was like, I don't think we need to relieve anymore.
No, once her teat on that side was even with the other side, I knew there was no... Yeah. Point in doing that once it was the same size. But yeah. So then Bonnet, even though the kids ate off both sides initially, which we watched, which I will say, we assumed that they were eating off both sides. They were sucking off both sides. But that one side could have potentially been clogged up then. But
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, you can't, unless they get some milk on their lips or something. I pretty much just look for the tail wiggle. If they're wiggling their tail, I assume that they're getting milk.
Yeah. So I truly do think that they were getting it out. But the next day, I noticed that her one side was extremely engorged, like way more so than Bonnet's or Bunny's was.
It was the weirdest shaped tit I've ever seen.
Well,
in my life.
That was after the fact, too, though. That it was just huge. And it was like a very light color. Like it almost looked like the circulation had been cut off in it. And it was like cold to the touch. So when I tried to milk it, it was clogged up. So it took me a few minutes to like kind of massage it and keep trying. And I was like able to get it unclogged and then milked out a lot. Like there was a lot of milk. But even after I milked her, her teat didn't seem, it was not it didn't go back down to the same size as her other one, like Bunny's had done whenever we milked her to relieve her. It was still huge. So I was like, oh no, what's going on? And after some research and asking a more experienced goat owner, or several, we came to the conclusion that it was more than likely udder edema in that side, not both sides, but just that side. And people told us that it was pretty normal, or not really normal, but like it happened often in like first freshening goats that were like overproducing because their hormones were like out of whack from birth and everything, and it would take a week or so for their hormones to regulate. But because it had gotten so engorged and everything, that it had caused it to have the edema, which is where it swelled up real big, and that everybody would just said it would go away within about a week or so, and in the meantime to do like hot compresses, like hot massages, stuff like that. So we did that and have been doing that every day, twice a day, and then also milking it out to relieve the pressure, because it's been too big. It was too big for the babies to fit in their mouth. But now, that's been like a week ago, and it's pretty much the same size as the other one is now, and the babies are drinking off that side now. So We're not having to milk that side out, which, because of the edema, it caused like the skin to kind of like, it's hard to describe it without showing it, but
it kind of like peeled and scabbed.
Yeah, so it's been like super uncomfortable for her to be milked, so it's just been a fight.
Yeah, it was hard for us to milk it. Pretty much I had to stand there and hold her still while you tried to milk.
Which I hated it, because I know it was hurting her so bad.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been good on the milk stand.
Right. But we just had to do it because we didn't want her to get mastitis, basically. Right.
And we knew it wasn't her just fighting us on the milk stand, because if we tried to milk the other side, she stood perfectly still while we got milk out.
Right.
It was just that was so uncomfortable for her. The only good thing about her, like the boy that she had being so like big, is that he was aggressive enough to where he could kind of chase her around the barn and get to that side, because a little girl pretty much keeps the other side drained.
Now they're eating off both sides, so we're not having to do that anymore. We're just, you know, making sure it stays clean and making sure that little spot heals up on it. But definitely a learning experience for us, because we had never dealt with that, which we've never dealt with I have never dealt with milk goats before, just the meat goats that we had growing up. So
fed goats at petting zoos previously.
They never really had overproduction issues or anything like that. So
yeah,
we just didn't know really. So
no, it's just a little bit of a learning experience, but I mean, we're better for it now. And I think we're going to have a lot of milk between the two of them. I'm not sure that Bonnet's not going to be a heavier producer than Bunny.
I know.
Because she stays pretty full, and then babies are eating all the time.
Yeah, and they're chunky little things.
Yeah, they don't have sunken sides. They got little pot bellies.
Yeah. So that was a good experience. I mean, I hated they had to go through that, but we learned from it, and they're doing really good now. So.
Right. The one thing I kept saying, and I don't know, they might make it, but nobody's recommended it if they do make it. I kept saying, I wish that there was like some kind of topical spray that you could put on her teat that would like kind of numb it, like you would get at the dentist, that would kind of help, because we could have milked it out and relieved it, and it wouldn't have hurt her as bad.
I have no idea.
So I wish there was something like that. Maybe we should invent something if we were smart enough.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'll have to look into it. But all right. So then I guess we can get into Ethel.
Our longest farm goat.
Yep. So Bunny went first on that Tuesday, and then 5 days later Bonnet went, and then how many days? 6 days later.
Yep.
Yeah. Ethel went, which was this past Saturday. We woke up Saturday morning and looked out the window just in time to realize that she was kidding. We didn't know exactly.
I literally didn't even finish. Well, I'll put it to you this way. We've tried the goat milk already. I was so excited because with the cream had separated enough, I made my cup of coffee. I'm a coffee nerd. I put the goat milk in it, and I had got like two sips and was talking about how good it was. And I was like, well, I'm going to go outside and check on the goats. I literally made it to the front of my truck and I could see Ethel like turn around licking a baby. And I literally just hollered from my truck, babies. And then I come running inside to grab all the stuff. And you went out and started like figuring out what was going on. What do we need to do?
Yeah. And it's crazy too, because, well, we had thought she was going to go like all week, because we technically her due date was the 11th, which was last Monday, a week ago. So we were like, okay, is today going to be the day? Is today going to be the day?
Yep.
And nope, none of the days were ever the day. So
yeah, she went, she technically went five days late.
Yeah, she, I mean, not really late. It can be anywhere from 145 to 155. So
she went 5 days from her whatever due date. So 155 days.
So she, so her due date, I think I calculated it to be 150.
So she went 155 days.
So that's not really late. Okay. That's normal.
Well, she went 155 days then.
Especially for like larger goats.
Yeah, and she's a big goat.
The Nigerians, it's more normal for them to go 145, which I think is what they did. Closer to that time. But, I mean, they know when they need to go.
Oh, yeah.
Goats, they really can't come super premature. They do a lot of their developing, most of their developing in the last, like, month or so.
Right.
So, they can't really come super early or else they're not going to be ready. But yeah, she had just finished, or she had just kitted the second one. Like,
right. I literally came out, whenever I came out and I hollered babies, I'm pretty sure the other one had just dropped maybe a minute before I came out.
Yeah. So she was already had the black one cleaned up pretty good. And it was already standing up trying to nurse. And the other one was just laying on the ground. It was pretty cold. And it was still like covered. She hadn't got around. She'd cleaned it a little bit, like its face, like it could breathe. But she hadn't cleaned pretty much anything else.
Right.
So
which they're not. They're in the old run-in barn. That we, or the run-in shed that we made previous to the barn, because we couldn't really kick out. We didn't want to stress out Bonnie and Bunny.
And for their four
right,
kids.
Right, and their four kids, putting them in the little run-in shed. So we didn't really have a place to put Ethel other than that, which was fine.
She's been there, done that.
Right,
so.
She's been there, done that before, so we weren't really super worried about it. But she was having a hard time cleaning it because it was still in the afterbirth sitting there. So it was like she kept cleaning it, but it would roll around and then get dirty again.
Yeah, which, I mean, it had been raining.
Right.
It had thankfully stopped. So it was sunny that day, but it rained all that day before. So it was still kind of wet outside. But I scooped her up and dried her off with a towel, and we got her warmed up because I felt the inside of her mouth, and it was cool. It was very cool. So we got her warmed up, she was like super weak at that point. Like, she didn't want to stand up. She wouldn't even like try to suckle or anything. Like, I tried to hold her up to Ethel, and she had no interest in it, and she just kind of kept flopping her head over, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, she wanted to flop her head over, she wanted to lay down, she kept closing her eyes, so, and she was shivering.
Yeah, well, we got her warmed up, because I know they can't eat until they are warm, so once she was warm, and she had stopped shivering, and the inside of her mouth was warmer, I milked Ethel a little bit and got a syringe and tried to syringe feed her, and she didn't act interested at all. And then I got some on her tongue, and I think she kind of tasted a little bit of it, and then she started trying to suckle everything.
Yeah, my fingers, my boot, your fingers, everything.
Yeah, like you could tell she like perked up so much. So then I syringe fed her, I think, two more syringes, which, I mean, she got some in her and some went all over the towel and some went all over her
in my boot.
But and then at that point, after we did that, she started trying to stand up after we got that in her. And she was very unsteady at first, which we kind of helped steady her and helped her stand at Ethel's side. And she started nursing Ethel, and she stood there for a good while. And after she nursed Ethel for a few minutes, she was able to stand on her own. Still wobbly and still trying to get her foot in, but...
Well, they're a significant different shape, too, than the Nigerian dwarfs.
Their legs are longer than their bodies.
Yeah, I was literally joking about it. I was like, did Ethel give birth to two baby goats or two baby ponies? Because like, they look like little horses because they're so long and lanky.
Yeah.
But go back real quick. You said that you milked Ethel. How was that?
Well, it's so much easier, I feel like, than the Nigerian dwarfs. Like, it's such a larger teat to hold on to. And also, her stream was, like, it was, I mean, she has a huge udder. She is.
Like I said, I have big hands.
Literally, okay, I had a mason jar, like the, just like the, it's a wide mouth, but it's like the regular, it's not the large jar. It's like the pint size, I guess. Yeah, no, it's not the quart, it's the pint. And I had half a jar in 10 squirts. Like, I would have easily had a full jar without even making a dent in her udder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but I didn't. I just got enough to, I didn't want to waste it. I just got enough to syringe feed the baby some. But yeah, it was very easy.
Yeah.
It was satisfying.
Yep. Well, I wanted to, she's going to be a very heavy milk producer, I can tell you that much, because in babies now,
don't keep up with
it. Yeah, they don't keep up with it, and they're, I mean, they cry, and she goes over there, and they milk. I mean, they drink quite a bit, because they stand at her side for a while drinking.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell that they did anything. Like, she's still pretty full.
I'll be interested to see, like, once they're a few more days older, like bunnies, for instance, mm-hmm. like, you couldn't hardly tell they were drinking anything, but now that they're older.
Yeah, they're flat.
And drinking more, like, after they get done, they're, like, nothing left in there.
Right. But I wanted to see, because one side was starting, you could tell it was starting to get a little tight and uncomfortable, so I just reached over there the next day, I think it was, and grabbed her tit and started milking, and I've got big hands, and I can grab completely around it and still have some tit hanging out the bottom, which is very nice to me. So I was like, I claim Ethel. I'm going to milk her.
Yeah, but yeah, they're doing really good now. They're 2 days old, almost 3 days old, I guess. And they, one looks just like Ethel. She's like a lot, like, tannish,
yeah,
whitish.
It's not really a cream. It's lighter than that.
I guess it's kind of a cream. Cream and white, even with the white spot on her side like Ethel. And then the other one looks just like their dad.
Yep. Jet black. Which, the dad was jet black with he kind of looked like an Oreo. He had a jet black rear end, a white belly, and then a jet black front.
Yeah.
With a little bit of white markings on his face.
Yeah.
This one is jet black.
With a white head. Or like a white spot on her head.
It's literally just a white spot, like a balding spot.
And both of them are girls. She had twin girls, even though
they don't look like twins. They both squat and pee.
Yes. Yeah, both are doing really good. Starting to jump around already on their little lanky legs.
Mm-hmm.
They look like little horses playing around.
Yep. I don't know. It's so, like, tempting to me to try to keep those, which I said specifically the day before Ethel kidded. I was like, man, like, I'm keeping Ethel. We're not getting rid of her. Like, she's a staple at the farm. We've had her forever. We'll have her till she dies. I was like, this is her last kidding, though. Like, she's getting kind of older. She doesn't move around as good being pregnant. So, and I can see, too, she's starting to move around, and she seems happier now that she's, you know, kidded. She seems less
relieved.
Weighed down because
yes.
She is.
She was huge.
And I don't know. I kind of want to keep one of them, maybe two of them.
Oh, my.
If we had a place. If we had
a
place. We
don't have room to keep six goats.
I know. If we had a place, I would.
Six on top of our normal four.
Right. If we had a place big enough, in a heartbeat, I would keep Ethel's babies just because they're so cute.
And they're both girls.
I know.
And the one, I guess, because we, like, kind of saved her. I mean, she might have been fine.
I don't know.
If we hadn't been home or something. But, I don't know. But she, like, thinks I'm hers now or something.
I know. As soon as you walk in the pasture, she runs right up to you.
Runs right up to me. Like, oh, she thinks I belong to her.
She looks just like Ethel. And Ethel's, like I said multiple times, she's just like a big old dog.
Yeah.
If you, like, a dog will come up to you and, like, want to lick you in the face, Ethel comes up and wants to bump noses with you.
Yes. And she did. She bumped noses with me tonight because I was squatted down there playing with the babies. And I had my phone out because I was taking a video. And she come right up there and bumped noses with me and then, like, started trying to eat my phone and change the mode and all that on it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what did you do to it?
But, well, we have 10 goats now.
Yep, we started with four. And we had three sets of twins, which was not really, I wasn't really expecting to have every single one we had was twins.
Right. Which we were talking about that before we even started recording the podcast. I was like, how common is it to have three sets of twins like that? So,
I mean, I really wasn't expecting three sets of twins because, like, it's just, I don't know.
I'll be curious
three
to see.
Three goats, three sets of twins. I feel like that's not super high a percentage of happening, but yeah. It did. So
now, if Ethel would have had a boy and a girl, that would have been
weird.
Outrageous.
I know. Boy, girl, girl, girl.
Right. I'm curious to see if Ruby has twins. I'll be shocked.
It'll be her first freshening, so she could, or she could have a single. I kind of hope she has a single.
Yeah, at this point, I hope she has a single.
But at the same time, all these babies are going to be 2 months old. So if she had twins,
twins, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Also, I feel like twins is less likely to have issues birthing because they're going to be two smaller kids, which is going to be easier to birth. Whereas, like, a lot of times a single is going to be really big and harder to birth. But then, I don't know. All of these went fine.
Yep.
There was obviously no issues with any of these. So.
Yeah. So we'll see about it. Who knows?
Yep. So right now, we're moving Bonnet and Bunny and their kids out to our, like, temporary electric netting fence pasture that we have set up. It's a pretty big little area because it's two of those 100-foot nets, I think.
Yeah, it's 300-foot of – it's a 300-foot circle because it's 150-foot and 150-foot, which is 300-foot
okay.
of netting.
So, yeah. So, it's a pretty big area. So, they're going out in that every day because it's got quite a bit of – things for them to eat. It's got some briars and some weeds and quite a bit of grass and some baby, like, little baby pine trees grow, which they love those.
Mm-hmm.
So
they're like a little treat for them.
Yeah.
And the babies have learned not, and this is going to sound mean, I'm sure somebody's going to hear this and be like, I can't believe you. The babies have learned what an electric fence is already.
And they know.
And they respect it.
Yeah.
And they know what it is and they keep their distance.
Yeah, I mean, we have electric fence going around our main fence because we have it going around the top and we have it going around the middle because not just to keep the goats from climbing on it, but also to keep predators out because we have a ton of coyotes and, like, stray dogs and wild dogs and neighbor dogs
right.
that come around all the time. So we want to ensure their safety. So we don't let them stay out overnight or unsupervised in this electric netting because it's not as tall
Mm-mm.
and secure, but it keeps them in, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't think definitely the dwarf goats would be no, like, there's no way they're going to jump over the fence that we have now because most of it, they would have to jump not only over it, but also uphill at the same
right.
time. So it's much higher than a typical fence. So I don't think I'd have to worry about them, but also I have the hot wire because of the coyotes are such a, I don't know. We have a lot of coyotes. I have trail cameras and we see coyotes on them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, in all the time that we've had chickens and goats here, we've never had a problem with the goats and predators and the chickens. We really haven't had any problems with the coyotes. Just
the fox.
Yeah, just
time.
The fox and some hawks.
Yep. But yeah, we seeded our main pasture as well. We've been overseeding it, so it's starting to come up and look really green. But all those little baby grasses coming up, we're trying to keep them off of it until they get more established and get taller.
Right.
And healthier. So we're trying to give it a chance.
It's just now starting to come up really good, so I don't want them to go in there and just
tromp around on
it
and
tear
it pull
all
it up
before it's already established.
Yeah. And then once the babies get to be about 2 to 3 weeks old, since they're all like within 2 weeks or less, we'll especially Bunny and Bonnet, I cannot ever say that right. We'll probably start them at the same time, but we'll probably wait till a little bit later for Ethel. But once their babies get to be about 2 to 3 weeks old, we will start kid sharing. Which is where we'll put the babies in the stalls or in the little stall at night. I guess it basically is locking them away from their mothers. So that way they can't nurse all night. And so then we'll milk the mamas in the mornings and then turn the babies out with them for the rest of the day. So they can nurse the rest of the day. And then We won't wean them until they're like 10 weeks old or so, 12 mm-hmm. weeks old, something like that. But they're already, especially bunnies, because they're almost 2 weeks old, they're already starting to pick at hay and some grass and stuff, just kind of nibbling here and there.
Yeah, they're already starting to cut teeth and everything.
Yeah, so, yep, so they're...
It's so funny to me to watch, like, the little babies watch their mamas do something, especially when we put them out in pasture. Like, the mamas will go around and pick, like, what they like out of the pasture, and the babies will just, like, bounce behind them, and they're like, ooh, that's good, let me try that.
Yeah.
And they'll go over there and, like, nibble on it, and you can't even tell that they nibbled on it. Like, they don't pull it off. They just, like, chew on it with their little gums. So it's just funny to watch them.
Yeah, they're so cute. But yeah, while we aren't getting any milk right now because, like we said a minute ago, the babies are keeping up with the production now that they're older. But when we were having to relieve them every day, it was like, and we had, I guess, enough to do we had a couple of jars in the fridge at once of milk. And it was like crazy, like going from, oh, I didn't expect it that soon for one.
Right.
And for two, like having, like it was like literally our first milk like that was produced here on our homestead, and it was just like the coolest thing, even though it wasn't enough to do much with. I was able to freeze like 1.5 ice cube trays full of milk to make soap with, which I'm planning on doing that this week. So that might be, we might talk about that on an upcoming podcast. But also, like you said a little bit ago, you had it in your cup of coffee, which you said it was the creamiest cup of coffee you'd ever had.
Right. Well, so I didn't grow up with whole milk. Like, we had milk in the house. I think it was normally 2%. We didn't have whole milk in the house. And hands down, you could blindfold me, and I guarantee you 100% of the time, if you made me have 2% or whole milk, I could tell the difference just by, like, the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different. You can taste the difference. And after going back, because I ran out of the goat milk already just because we don't have a whole supply of it like we will have when we ran out of the goat milk, and I went back to the whole milk, I was like, it tastes like 2% or skim milk. Like, it's not, it doesn't taste like rich and creamy like whole milk normally does. So when I went back from the goat milk to the regular, like, store-bought whole milk, it just didn't taste near as good.
Yeah,
so I can't wait.
Yeah, so yeah, we're very excited. We got a little taste before. So, but yeah, now that we've got a little taste, we're like biting, chomping at the bit to get.
Oh, I'm ready to, and this sounds terrible, but I'm ready to lock them babies up at night so I can have some milk.
We just want to make sure we're not doing it too early or anything. So,
no, I want what's best for the babies, but also want milk.
So, yeah, so basically, that's all of our kidding adventures from the past week and a half.
Overall, in 2 weeks' time, we had 3 healthy kittings. Yes, we had to help Ethel's out just a little bit. Would it have survived without us? Probably. I think it probably would have. It just wouldn't have been doing as good as it is now. But, I mean, we really couldn't have asked for 3 kittings better.
Right.
Like, it happened very smooth. 2 pretty much unassisted. Well, 3 unassisted. We just kind of helped Bonnie a little bit, clean hers up. That's about it.
If we would not have been here, I'm sure she would have done it.
Yeah, she would have cleaned them up. But I mean, pretty much the only thing that we've had to do is just make sure that the milk production was going to be okay and make sure that their udders were healthy.
Right. Didn't want them developing mastitis or anything like that. So, but they're all doing good. The babies are doing good. They're jumping around and starting to run around and play.
Oh, they're wild.
If you follow us on Instagram, we post a lot about them.
You get your daily dose of baby goats.
Yep. And then I'm going to try to hopefully have the YouTube video up. I don't have a lot of YouTube stuff. I mostly just like post shorts, but I'm trying to do like the long videos. So we'll have that up in the next few days with a little bit more things that you can see, because it's hard to describe everything like without seeing
that'll
something.
That'll be legit footage of like Bonnie's kidding,
yep,
and then Ethel's right after kidding, So it'll be a little bit of everything.
Yep. So, yeah. So we're done for now. Ruby won't be for another 2 months, I believe. I think hers is like June. I think she's doing June. I need to look back in my book, but pretty sure June. So, yeah. So we're in the clear for a while. We can relax and enjoy babies for a little bit.
Yeah, Ruby doesn't really even... She's a barrel of a goat anyway. She's a little thick thing. But she's really not really showing any signs yet, except for I think her tits are starting to get a little bit bigger. But for the most part, she looks normal.
Well, it's because she's still like 2 months out. Well, how many months? 3 months out. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. And she's in the pasture with Ethel and her babies right now. And she has literally like...
She doesn't even care that they're there.
She acts like they're not even there. Like, she's not sniffed them. She's not... Like, the little black one went up to her today. I think Ruby, like, for the first time realized. she just, like, I saw her sniff. They, like, touched noses, and that was it. And then Ruby went back to eating. Like, she could care less. Like, she hasn't...
Which I'm happy. That's better than what I thought. I thought we were going to have to, like, split that pasture somehow with, like, the electric netting or something. So that way... Because I was really afraid that Ruby was going to be mean, because she has a tendency to be mean.
She's not mean. She's bossy.
She's bossy, and she wants all the attention.
Right. She gets jealous. And I'm surprised that with us, you know, doing all that stuff, that she hasn't been more jealous. But she's literally just minded her...
She is maturing.
Yeah. She's literally minded her own business and just sat over there and watched from afar. But she doesn't care. Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy thing is by this time next week, Ethel's babies will be the same size as Ruby, because they're almost there now.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy how much bigger they are than the dwarf babies. They're already, like, they came out bigger than the two-week-old ones, which is crazy. But, yeah. I mean, it makes sense, because everybody thinks that Ruby is Ethel's child, so.
They've thought that. Our neighbors literally stop and be like, oh, the babies are so cute. It's like, well, this was before we had any babies. This is when we just had Ethel and Ruby on the farm. Our neighbor would stop and be like, oh, look at the mom and her baby. And we're like, no, it's not.
They're both adults and they're not related in the least. But yeah. But,
well, I guess we'll have to keep everybody updated. But if y'all want your daily dose of baby goats, just head on over to the Instagram, and then we'll post the YouTube video up soon, and we'll have a link for it on the Instagram too.
Yep. So that is all we have for today.
Yep, that's our update of our goat life.
Yep. So we should not be talking about goats for a while, other than just like little updates here and there.
Yeah.
We'll probably get back into gardening and chicken content.
Well, our chicks will be here
next week. So we might have to do another interrupted episode.
Oh, boy. All the new creatures coming to the farm. Well,
spring.
Actually.
Tomorrow's the first day of spring.
Or today. They're listening today, so today will be the first day of spring. Tomorrow,
when they are listening, it will be the first day of spring.
Yep. So congratulations. Happy first day of spring, everyone. But I also couldn't help myself, and I put 12 eggs in the incubator, and we candled them tonight before we started this, and it looks like we have 12 growing eggs.
Yep. They look pretty promising.
So, and the one that I'm most excited about is Lady's egg. So that will be a... black Australorp
rooster
and a blue laced red Wyandotte hen.
Yep.
So I'm really curious what that's going to look like.
Yep.
It's definitely going to lay a brown egg.
Light brown. Yeah. Cause Australorps are pretty, they're like almost a pinky, and then Ladies is like very, very light with like white speckles all over it.
Right. So it'll be a brown egg. I'm just curious what the chicken will look like.
Yep. And then garden is doing good. Lettuce and spinach is looking good. We've got some cabbages in the ground, a few broccolis. We've been up potting a lot this week.
Tomatoes are going crazy.
Yeah, it's time to up pot those as well. But we'll probably do like a more in-depth garden update in another episode here soon.
I'm sure there'll be an Instagram reel popping up soon about it too.
Yep.
So we got a lot in the works.
Yep.
And plenty more podcast episodes. We have a whole list of stuff to do. So,
I've been making for like over a year.
Oh, congratulations also. We have officially reached over 100 downloads.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I think it was like 120.
Dang.
So we're officially over 100 all-time downloads.
Woohoo!
Happened quick.
Yeah.
8 episodes in, over 100 downloads.
Nice.
So, but, well, thank you everybody for listening.
And so, we will see you next time.
Yep. See y'all later.